This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here's episode 16 with Ava Clare.
Dandelion puffs on the wind. As a bird fidgets with a seed, a girl taps the reload button over and over till her finger is smushed flat and her eyes are stained with pixels. Nothing new comes when she reloads, again and again. Eyelids close black on the screen, chargeless from her demands. She slaps her fingers on the desktop in disgust, mouth cinching, brows narrowing, a small huff pinched from her lips. But she stops, unclenching her face. She looks at nothing sitting on her window. Galaxies floating beyond her pupils, whispering cries, beating drums. She sees the nose-curling ingredients inside the hot dog, the things shiny wrappers try to hide. She sees people running and hiding and crying, cradling babies already running before they can walk, fearing the places that once held them tight. People on the streets, not a crumb in their pocket, nor a coin, only holes. People who work for many spins of time till they make the little handful that is their lifeline. People fighting on the front lines and in the smallest restaurants, floating on boats made from courage, hard work, and perseverance. But the children, huddled with no lullabies, look into their eyes, brimmed with the weight no child should carry, lined with silver tears, cutting streaks down their faces. The girl starts, coming from the stars, back to her spot before the computer's big black eye. A single tear slips from her lashes onto the reload key, the desk, flowing with pencils and erasers and papers, looked at by the girl as disposable, replaceable, nothing but dandelion puffs on the wind. The cry of the world echoes in her ears. She twists her fingers together, tight as the promise coiled round her heart. She would never, never again take what she had for granted. The clothes, the ceiling, the freedom, she would never, never again ask the night sky for more than she had already been given, a beating heart and a sturdy mind. Because how rich would the soil be if we planted our seeds with a bit more appreciation?
Yay! Thank you so much. I love this so much. There are so many like cool descriptions and images and just really awesome things. Your title is Dandelion Puffs on the Wind. How does this connect to the rest of the poem, and what made you decide on it?
I think that sometimes dandelions are the weeds, mm-hmm. that we always view them as the annoying flowers, and that we view them as nothing, just things that we want to cut up with the lawnmower. And I think that's a bit how sometimes I view the things in my life, like, oh, they'll just float away, and that's it. They're mm-hmm. meaningless. I don't really appreciate them.
So what was your inspiration behind the poem?
I definitely think during these times, they're really challenging and it's really bringing out what we appreciate, what we have, and showing us that not everyone is as lucky to have the things that we take for granted, like free lunches or free internet or even just a computer that we're working with.
Mm-hmm. So what was the first line you thought of and how did you work from there?
Oh, goodness. I'm not really quite sure why I related it to nature. It's kind of a human instinct that we want things to work for us and we want to have success, but we never really stop to think about the people who are behind us that we don't really stop to help pick up or even really think about.
Yeah, I agree. There's like some people just take a lot. Well, actually, all people take a lot of things for granted and like they don't, you know, really acknowledge or appreciate all the hard work behind their things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So do you ever veer completely away from where you start with a poem?
I kind of like form it how you're supposed to form a book. Like I try to think of where I want it to end and how I want it to work up to there. And I try to make it so that if I was the reader, I can see into my own mind and my own thought process. And I think sometimes it's totally fine if the poem doesn't go where I want it to go. If anything, that's a better poem because it shows what I'm thinking and kind of just what's going on in my mind.
Yeah, I think that a lot of my poems can be really confusing because there are a lot of just random ideas placed wherever, but that's just how it like makes sense in my mind.
Exactly.
And like if someone reads my poem and they're like, "Oh, this is a little bit confusing. You're like jumping around a lot." It's like, "Well, that's just how it appears in my mind, and it doesn't occur to me as like being weird."
Yeah, I once heard a quote that was that writing, or in this case, poetry, is you sit down at a typewriter and you bleed. Just it's basically just your thought process.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's why a lot of the stories I write too are very messy and like scattered and just like there's no clear plot to them, which is, not great for my writing teachers. They're all like, "Oh, you have to have a plot. You have to like have an outline and know where this is gonna go." And it's like, well, my mind doesn't have an outline for things. Like it's just there and that's how it's gonna be.
Poetry is opinion, and usually when I write a poem, it's based on my emotions and how I'm feeling, and sometimes that can be a bit messy.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think that it's supposed to be like pretty or perfect, because like
Exactly.
then you're just lying to yourself. So I think that there are a lot of really great metaphors and descriptions in this poem, and a bunch of little moments that stand out, like as a bird fidgets with a seed, baby is already running before they can walk, she would never again ask the night sky for more than she had already been given, the things shiny wrappers try to hide. So, what were you picturing as you wrote this? And do you think that you struggled a little bit making it seem very real as it does now?
In school right now, we're researching different problems in the world, and I think that really brought this close to home, hearing just the statistics and the people who have so much less than I do, and yet they're happier with their life than I am, and how sometimes it's definitely not about the things that we have. It's more about the things that we've already been given, and how lucky we are to be alive and to have family and the things that you can't buy with money.
Yeah, I agree. Intangible things like happiness and friendship and family and like support and stuff. Those are things that we definitely take for granted.
Yes, like right now, it's really bringing out the things that we already have that we don't need to search for. Like, I think a lot of people are really finding that their family's there for them, and that they're finding out that their friends are there for them, and that they don't need just materials in their life to be happy.
Yeah, exactly. And I think people are finding a lot of hidden talents too. Like everyone's starting to cook or like do all these really like new things that they haven't ever done before that they really like now. Have you been finding a new talent?
I think I've just been liking to explore through art and writing and painting and just creating. And like, even if it's not poetry, just painting or drawing, it just kind of is expressing yourself, and it helps me kind of learn more about myself and my emotions.
What do you paint?
I like to paint watercolor. Sometimes a painting can be interpreted totally different by every single person. I think that's what I love, just painting colors that I feel. And then every time I look at it, I can feel different. I can feel happy or sad, and it just expresses me.
I like watercolor too, and I have a really cheap palette that I got for like maybe $5. And it's not perfect, but I do like it. And I was thinking about getting a new watercolor palette. And so I found one that a bunch of like artists use in their YouTube videos. I was like, "Oh wow, this is really nice." And it's this like tiny little tin with like these tiniest little six different colors. And it's like $100. It's ridiculous. And they have one that's with like 12 tiny, tiny little colors and it's $300. It's like so expensive for these tiny little watercolor paints. And I don't understand why.
That's so funny that you're saying that. It's almost like a metaphor that we can all have different things, but we all have kind of like, we can all paint the most beautiful paintings, and we don't need the best stuff to be able to create wonderful
Exactly. Yeah. And so I did not get it for $100.
things.
I stuck with my $5 palette because I was like, it's really just the same colors and it's not really going to look that much different.
Exactly.
So yeah, bunch of metaphors and random things like that. But I think that art supplies in general are kind of just really pricey.
They are. They really are.
I know. And then sometimes you can find dupes, but they're still like, not as great.
Not at all.
Yeah, that's the struggle. So, I really like your ending, which I think sums up the intention behind the poem and the message that you're trying to send, which is, how rich would the soil be if we planted our seeds with a bit more appreciation? I think it's really powerful. So what was your inspiration behind it?
I feel like planting in general has a lot to do with life, whether like the seeds are our dreams, like the next generation. There's so many different things that planting has to do with our day-to-day life. Like, we always want the best soil. Like, a tiny seed can bloom into something beautiful if we just appreciate it and we love it.
I really agree that, you know, you just have to appreciate little things. And, you know, if you have something in your life that seems like it's really struggling or it's not doing that great, then maybe appreciate it more, give it more love, and it'll become better.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what do you like to take away from this poem after you read it?
Usually my poems have to do with somebody else or even myself. And I felt writing this, I really felt the message. And during these times, I'm really starting to appreciate the things that I take, like my friends take for granted, and the things that are right here. I don't even need to look for them. And I think this poem kind of was a bit of me talking to myself about what kind of was my thought process of it. And it kind of was a blip second kind of epiphany, like, wow, like, I'm really lucky to have all these things that I have in my life.
Mm-hmm. And a somewhat earlier question, what do you think other people should take away from this?
I think that other people should take away that we are all lucky and that we don't need supplies or we don't need $500 art kits just to make a beautiful impact on this world, and that we should all be thankful that we're alive and we have family and that we have people who care about us and that we care about people.
I think that's a really great message. So, some questions about writing. How did you first get into writing or poetry?
I always enjoy looking at things a bit deeper than they are. Maybe not just in like thesaurus kind of point of view, like just, oh, let's find a different word that works for that. Mm-hmm. I kind of like explaining things a bit deeper than they are, and I love finding metaphors, and I just like finding beauty in the world and putting it on paper. And I think I really enjoy being on Young Writers Project because, one, I can collaborate with other people, and two, I love the prompts, and just reading other people's poetry really gets me inspired and excited.
That's great. How have you collaborated with other people on YWP?
I've done a few writing camps. Obviously, I did one with you.
Oh, yes. That's how we know each other. We go way, way back. I don't even know how long ago that was. Maybe like 2 or 3
summers,
like, four? I have no idea.
2018?
Yeah. It was a lot of fun, though.
It was. I love just hearing other people's poetry because It really reforms my poetry. Even if I just read it and I'm like, huh, like, I could definitely use their style, or I never thought about it that way. Poetry is just so unique. The debate, like, what is poetry?
Mm-hmm.
Like, poetry, music, poetry's words, is it more than words?
Yeah, and, like, what counts as poetry and what doesn't count as poetry?
Yes. Any way of expressing your feelings is a type of poetry.
Yeah, and, like, expressing, you know, something that matters to you, or just a thought, even. It doesn't have to be something super important, because I think that a misconception of poetry is that it always has to be really meaningful and really important and really like, wow, this has some huge great meaning about the universe. But it doesn't have to be like that. It can just be a metaphor that you really liked writing, or something that stood out to you, or just a really odd thought.
Exactly. Kind of like what you were saying before, that it doesn't have to fit in that cookie cutter shape, or
yeah, exactly,
have to fit in the lines with it.
Yeah, I mean, my feeling is if it feels like poetry to you, then it's poetry.
Exactly.
That's that. So we talked about the writing camp, mentioned it. We went to the writing camp together, and that was really awesome. And we did a lot of collaborative projects where we wrote together in like a group of four. And how do you think your writing process differs when you write with other people than when you write by yourself?
When I write with other people, I usually like to hear about how they write. Like, if somebody loves writing with different types of punctuation, or if somebody writes in just a paragraph, I love just experimenting with it. There's no wrong answer. When I work with other people, my poetry kind of expands and it kind of goes to new boundaries. I definitely learn a lot about myself and where I can take it.
Yeah, I think that's really great when you can, you know, write with other people and gain a lot from it and not feel like, oh, I'm not as good as these other writers, or, oh, I'm not, you know, my poetry is way too different and weird.
Exactly.
Because I think that, you know, all writing is, and all expression is good in its own way. Writing with other people is a lot of fun, but I do enjoy when I just write by myself, because then I feel like I don't have to stop my, like, random thoughts from coming in. I can just, like, completely write it how I want to write it. And I also feel a little stressed when I'm given, like, you know, you have 7 minutes to write this, or you have 4 minutes to write this. Then I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to get all of my thoughts out.
It's always hard when they say to put the pencil down and you just...
I know. Then I'm always like, oh wait, I can switch this. I can add like an ing to the end of this word. It's going to be really cool. I was looking at some of the poems that we wrote a few weeks ago, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Because one of them, I don't know if you remember it, but it was... what we thought our lives would be like in 10 years, I think.
Oh, yes.
And I would be 24 when I wrote it. And I was saying how I was going to live in a tiny apartment in New York City above, like, a Chinese restaurant or an Italian restaurant. And it was really cool.
I know, it's always interesting because poetry is kind of like you're historically documenting something, it seems like, where you can go back, and if you write it with emotion, or even if you just write what you're thinking about at the moment, like, you can go back and you'd be like, oh, that totally changed from your, hey, I was thinking this last year at this time.
Yeah, I think that's what's really cool about reading your poetry that you wrote like a few years back, definitely to see like how your perspective is the same or how it's changed, or just like the tiny little moment that you captured and be like, oh wow, I don't remember that now, but it's cool that I wrote about it. So, do you ever write slam poetry?
I think I've had a few prompts about it, and I did a poetry out loud once, but it was not my poem. So, no, I have not.
I think that some of my poems are sort of meant to be spoken and, like, read in open mic, but I think some of them are a little too gentle for that, and it's a little too nice. But I do like experimenting with different, you know, ways of expressing what I'm thinking and feeling. And so slam poetry sometimes is good to just, like, get all of your emotions out there.
Exactly. You can have, like, the same, two people can read the same poem, and the way you split the word phrases and the way you, your tone, your volume, it can totally change the poem.
Oh, yeah, completely. I think that's really powerful about spoken word, too, is that, you know, their poems have really come to life. Because, like, you can have gestures, too, that really, you know, change the way that it's taken in.
Exactly.
Have you been to a lot of open mics? Or any?
No, I actually have not.
Oh, I went to a couple a few years ago, and one a couple of months ago. And it's just a really great feeling, you know, that there are all of these writers, and you can all be, like, completely different. And you all just come together to support each other's writing and, like, snap. It's just a really fun environment. And we did an online open mic a few months ago that was really awesome. It'd be cool to do another one.
What do you do that through?
Right through here. Actually, we did it through Skype last time, through Young Writers Project. But that didn't work out that well, so it would probably be on Zoom next time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And it's cool to, like, hear everyone read their own poems out loud. Like we said, you know, there are different nuances and, like, the volume, and you can sort of tell if someone really likes their poem when they're reading it, which I think is really cool, because it's like you can tell that, wow, they really love this. So, how does poetry fit into your life?
It's definitely kind of a way to express myself, or when I have like emotions, they can be happy or sad or maybe confused. Sometimes I just write it down and it's easy for me to explain, or I can kind of figure out where I'm at. And that kind of really helps just to even out all the emotions and figure it out.
Yeah. I think that I often forget that I write poetry, and it doesn't just, like, I've talked about this before in the podcast, like, it doesn't just, I don't think all the time, like, I write poetry, I'm a poet, like, it doesn't just, you know, stay in my head all the time, but it's nice to, you know, have something where I feel like I don't have to limit myself, and I don't have to try to be like someone else. I don't have to impress anyone.
It's always such a unique type of writing, because it's not like a school essay or something where mm-hmm. you know, nobody's going to revise it. Like, you don't even have to revise it. It's just, it's out there and it's your word and it's what you believe in.
Yeah, exactly. So how did you discover Young Writers Project?
I had gotten on a few years prior to doing it this Christmas, and I'd really enjoyed it, and I obviously always read it in the newspaper, and it was always in the back of my mind. And then this year with New Year's resolutions, I really wanted to get onto a writing website so I could really collaborate with other writers. So I joined, and I've had just such a great experience. It's so nice, because with posting poetry on different websites where you're not all writers, sometimes there's criticism or sometimes there's rude comments, but here you know everybody's there to support you and everybody's there to believe in your word and just believe in you, and it really makes me feel great.
That's awesome. And what I like about Young Writers Project is that, you know, sometimes writing websites seem like they're just completely random people that you're never going to meet, and just like weird people on the internet. Yes. But with Young Writers Project, I feel like I know a lot of the people, and I've talked to them before, or I've met them before, and it doesn't feel like I'm uncomfortable sharing my writing with these people.
Exactly.
Yeah, and not like such a big, you know, just vast collection of people. So, what's the most valuable writing critique you've been given?
I think just, I remember when I was younger, I used to always try to make them rhyme. Mm-hmm. I used to just straight out say what I was talking about, like, this is about a cat, or this is about a tree. And I think kind of the one thing that I really understood was when somebody told me that it doesn't have to make sense, and it doesn't have to be common, it doesn't have to be uniform, it doesn't have to be about anything, or it doesn't have to be about everything. You don't have to have a point when you're writing, and you don't have to have like a final thought that everybody knows what you're talking about, so that everybody can interpret your writing in a different way, and every way is perfect.
Yeah, I think that's really great. And critique that I've been given, it's actually kind of the same. Like, don't exactly state what you're talking about. Like, you don't have to add a bunch of the and like really descriptive words in that sense, because it can be a little more abstract. Sometimes abstract is better. And I think that there are a lot of different writing critiques that we can give people about technical things like grammar and, you know, line breaks and other things like that. But really the most important thing isn't like spelling and how you like phrase something, is just like the feeling behind the poem and how much you care about what you're writing about. I think that's what makes a good poem a good poem.
I totally agree that it doesn't have to be the right words. It doesn't have to be like the perfect punctuation. It's just what you feel in the moment and putting it on paper.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you're not great at grammar and punctuation and things like that, you don't have to be worried about it. As long as you care about what you're writing about and like it makes you happy to write it, then that's great.
Absolutely.
So what writing advice do you wish someone had given to you? This is sort of similar.
I you don't write something, then go through every word and try to find a better word to use. Like, you don't thesaurus your writing. You don't, like, one word, you can use a noun to be a verb. You could use a verb to be a noun. Like, a word doesn't just have to be prettied up to be a poem. Like, you can describe something in ways nobody ever has. You don't have to just use a better word in replace.
Yeah. You know, you don't have to try to make everything, like, really perfect and so much better than how it just comes out naturally. And a related question, what writing advice would you give to someone else?
Maybe that it doesn't have to be it doesn't have to rhyme to be perfect. Or if you're changing your writing to make it rhyme, it changes your thought process and it changes what your poetry is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, poetry doesn't have to rhyme to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to not rhyme to work either.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we just keep coming back to that poetry doesn't have to be this perfect fit in the box thing. And that
exactly
anyone can do anything to make a poem, and that everything is a poem.
Yes. And I think that, you know, if someone asked who is a poet or what kind of person fits into, like, the definition of a poet, the answer would be anyone.
Exactly. Everybody's a poet. About when you hear someone say, I'm not a writer, or I can't write like that, like, everybody can. It doesn't have to be, like you said, the greatest moral of all time to be a good poem.
Yeah, and I think that just reminded me of something, is that when you're, like, writing with other people and you're going to share their work and someone's like, oh, well, it's not that great, or it's not as good as everyone else's, and that's always amazing.
Exactly.
I think that's important writing advice I would give to someone else, is that don't say that it's not that good, because I'm sure it's fantastic.
Don't doubt your voice.
Yeah, don't doubt what you write, because if you write, then it's great.
Yes.
But yeah, I think that's like, it's like a fact. Anytime that someone says that their writing isn't good, it's great. That's just like a thing. So how does setting affect your poetry? Like when you write inside or outside or during the day or at night?
Sometimes when I write when I'm very awake or in the morning, my poetry kind of has a more spontaneous feel to it, and then sometimes at night it can be a bit sleepy and the words can kind of stick together a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think just how awake or how tired I am really affects how the flow of the poem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wrote a poem the other night because I was just exhausted. I've been tired for the past like week and I don't know why. But anyway, I wrote this poem and I was like, this is kind of good. Like, I kind of really like this. And so I realized that maybe I'm a better writer when I'm tired. Like, maybe that's just like the best setting for me to write. And like, when I'm really tired, I've been tired for a while, and I have a lot of emotions just like floating around, and I need some way to write it. And it comes into a poem. But it's always really fun to see something that I've written, like, late at night and look at it the next day and be like, oh, wow. Like, either that's really awesome or that's really weird. I think that there are definitely two extremes when I look at poems that I've written. I can either, like, really like it, or I can either just be like, no, I need to burn that immediately.
Yeah, poetry is a way to look back and be like, huh, that's an interesting feeling I was having right then.
Yeah, and just like the way that I chose to write it is just very interesting. And then sometimes I look at poems that I've had published and I'm like, wow, people liked that.
Same feeling. It's so interesting that people can interpret your poetry in different ways, that you can love a poem, mm-hmm. and people think different, or you can be like, oh, I don't like that, and people love it. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and it's also really weird when people say that they've read my poems, because then I'm like really, really aware of everything I've said in the poem, and I'm like, how are they gonna like view me now?
Exactly, because it's kind of you just free writing, and then they might view you different, or like, huh, that's interesting.
Or like, wow, I didn't know that she thinks like that. And a lot of my neighbors have said that they read my poems in the newspaper, and it's like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Because some of my poems, you know, I write a lot about being a teenager. That's like my main thing right now, that I'm a teenager. And, you know, I've mentioned like drugs and alcohol and stuff, and I'm like, oh gosh, I don't know if I want my elderly neighbors reading this. So that's my real main concern when people read my poetry, is just that they might see me in a different light. But I'm glad to share what I write, because I feel like if someone takes something from it that's meaningful to them, then that's great.
Yeah, poetry, because you really are just writing what you're feeling, you're kind of putting yourself out there sometimes. Like,
oh yeah.
Like, and I think the strongest poets are those who aren't fearful of writing what they feel like and aren't worried or like, oh, it's not that good, just because they're nervous what other people are going to think about them.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that I write about other people sometimes, and I try to disguise it and make it seem really abstract, like it's totally not about this person. But then I read it like a few months later and I'm like, oh my gosh, everyone knows who it's about. Like, this is so clear to everyone else. I think that that's definitely the downside about writing about other people and sharing it, is that if that person reads it, they're going to know it's about them.
Yes, a lot of my inspiration also does come from just being with other people and seeing what their emotions are and what mm-hmm. they're doing in life. And then I write about it, and they're the star of the poem.
Yeah, or like my crushes, if I write about that. And it's like, oh my gosh, they're going to see this and they're going to know it's about them. That's definitely not my favorite thing when I realize that, because like sometimes it takes me a while to realize that other people are gonna see it, like after I've shared it, because yeah. sometimes it's like, you know, you write something and it's very close to you, and then you just put it on a website, or you just take a picture of it and put it on a social media account or something, and then you don't realize that so many people are going to see it.
Yes,
like it's not just yours anymore.
I know, like, you write a poem and you feel like it's a secret, and then you kind of share it and you realize, uh-oh, everybody gets to see inside my head.
I'm not that great at keeping secrets. Because, like, I'm not, like, if I'm talking to someone who I'm trying to not tell this thing to, then the only thing I can think of is the thing I'm trying to not tell them. Like, I could only think, like, don't say that, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, and then it'll probably come out anyway.
Poetry kind of is like a secret. You're kind of giving all your thoughts onto a piece of paper.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you're trying to be vague about it, maybe, and you're trying to not give away what it actually is. It's sort of like Taboo, you know, the game where, like, you have all these things you're trying to describe, but you can't exactly say what it is, or you don't want to say what it is.
That's sometimes my favorite way to write a poem. I like to, like, think of a noun and maybe a person and then try to go the whole poem without saying it.
Yeah, sometimes I do that, but I put the thing as, like, the title, so then you can be like, oh, that's what this is about. Or, like, maybe you won't even pick that up. Maybe you'll just be like, oh, I wonder why she called it this. That's really fun, you know, when I'm being really, really vague, and I have a bunch of hidden meanings, and no one really picks up on it, then I feel a little bit like, oh, get away with it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a movie that you can watch a bunch of times, then each time you kind of figure out something else about the movie, like, oh, maybe she's writing about this in this line, or maybe you're talking
yeah,
about
yeah, exactly. I think that's really fun, too, is when you watch movies from your childhood, especially, and then you pick up on a bunch of, like, jokes that you wouldn't have picked up on when you were younger and things like that. Yeah, I like watching TV shows and movies from when I was younger, because it's just really fun. It brings me back.
It just kind of shows me how, like, my point of view and my perspective can change so fast, because maybe like a movie that I thought was scary turns out to be really funny, or mm-hmm. like a character I thought to be rude is actually just being nice or something.
Yeah, or misunderstood or something. I think that, you know, watching TV shows and movies or reading books when you're older, like for a second or third time, I think it gives you more empathy for the characters too. Like, you can understand where they're coming from, or you can sort of understand why other people don't like them. So how do you think of ideas, or like, how do ideas come to you?
Like I said, I kind of use people as inspiration sometimes, or either sometimes when I'm stuck, I like to read a book or read somebody else's poetry, because it kind of gives me ideas like, oh, I loved how they wrote that. I kind of want to do something like that. I think reading books helps me like define my characters, define my writing, and work on your poetic side. You can always read something and try it, and if you don't like it, it doesn't have to work. Or, like, poetry is like a never-ending abyss that you can just figure so many things out about, and that nothing has to be wrong, nothing has to be right. Like, it's an endless painting that you can just figure it out.
Yeah, I agree. What are some of your favorite books?
I love The Hobbit and The Hunger Games and The Maze Runners. There's this one book I always used to like. It's called A Barrel of Laughs, A Veil of Tears. I always used to love reading that. And sometimes picture books, they can always have just a hidden meaning, or they can just be so beautiful.
Yeah, like Dr. Seuss especially.
Oh, I love Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, I know. There are so many, like, hidden meanings and messages that, like, you won't pick up on when you're a kid, but when you read it when you're a teenager and adult, you're like, oh my gosh, this is, like, really cool or important.
Like, a whole hidden side of the book.
Exactly, yeah. And what about some of your favorite poems or poets?
I just did a project in school where I learned about different poets, and I think a few of my favorite poets are probably Elizabeth Barrett Browning.
She's the one who wrote How Do I Love Thee, right?
Like A Summer's Day.
Yeah, that one.
And then I like Libogang Machiel. I just learned about her. She's a South African poet. She has some beautiful poetry. And she definitely always has a literal message that you can take from it, and then there's always a hidden one you can figure out when you read it again later.
I really like discovering new poets, because it's really fun to think that, like, oh my gosh, they have so many more poems I can find.
It's such a big world of poets. Like, you can always just take the largest one, like Emily Dickinson, and then you can love her poetry, then you can find just some small person on Young Writers Project and have just this fun reading their poetry.
Yeah, I think that's really great too, is that you can like so many different forms and styles of poetry, and you can really relate to almost anything. I have some books of poetry, but I haven't been looking at them that much lately, and I really want to discover some more poems and poetry, because I think it's just, it inspires me more and it motivates me to keep writing. Because then I'm like, wow, this is like a really cool concept, and I want to have cool concepts. Exactly. So that definitely gives me more inspiration, and it makes me happy to read poetry.
It kind of like jumpstarts my own thinking.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes I'll write down like little phrases or lines that seem cool to me, and I'm like, oh, maybe I can use something like that, or that can inspire me to write something of my own. And it's cool to see how I'll, like, read a line or phrase of poetry, and then I'll write something inspired by it, and it will be completely different from, like, the original poem.
It's amazing how far off you can go on a tangent in poetry.
Oh my gosh, yes. I think I go off on a lot of tangents. Sometimes it's, like, where I start is a complete 180 from where I end. And it's, like, is this even the same poem? And I think that that's just what's really cool. Like we said, you know, it's just, that's how it makes sense in my head. And that's what I'm just, you know, expressing.
It's so interesting that your emotions can totally change from the beginning of the poem to the end. Something different at the end, and that you want to have a different idea.
Yeah, I think that sometimes my perspective of things changes as I'm writing about it. And as I'm like, sort of acknowledging its existence.
Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I had so much fun talking.
I had a great time. Thank you so much.
This has been episode 16 of Line Break with Ava Clare. I hope you enjoyed, and stay tuned for episode 17. Bye!